right. Hey, welcome. Greetings there, fellow makers. It's Bill here.
And Britt.
And welcome to Prop Live Q&A, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. Today, we're going to talk about some stuff. We're going to take your questions and answer them to the best of our ability. Yeah. What's been going on, Britt? We've been in the shop today.
Yeah. We've actually gotten to be in the shop. It's crazy.
Pretty awesome.
I wasn't on a plane. I wasn't in a different state or country.
No.
It's been awesome.
I see our buddy Joel Telling in the chat there. Joel, that's not how you submit a question.
High five.
High five, Joel. But go to putterprops.com/live. Submit your question there. We all have to play by the rules, Joel. That's how civilization works. Before we get started today, I want to share with you a video I made. I posted it on Twitter, but we're gonna play it here. I just got a new camera and it shoots really high speed footage. And I was out on a walk and I saw some bees, and I was filming this bee, and I thought it was gonna be awesome. And when I reviewed the footage, I realized this bee was peeing. Let's see if you see it. Oh, also I added music. I was losing it. I was reviewing this footage. If you look, ready? Ready? Poo! Oh, start again. Pew!
This is all it takes to make Bill happy.
I spent like half an hour doing this today. Pew! All right.
So great.
I posted that over on Twitter. If you want to watch it again and again and again, go over to twitter.com/chinbeard and look at my recent post.
I'm so glad that camera is paying for itself, basically.
Oh, yeah.
It's great, though, because with all this practice, the next time we finish a proper costume, we are definitely going to do some cool slow motion stuff with it. Because
yes, we are.
Like, walking looks way cooler. Just everything looks cooler. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun.
Let's see. Tuesday, I started working on a Star-Lord helmet kit. And it's a kit that my friend Will over at WM Armory made a couple of years ago. He used to work in our shop with us. And he made it back then. I got the first casting. It was kind of rough. So I spent Tuesday fixing it up and getting it ready to finish. Let's see. If you go to his website, if you go to WMArmory.com, and look up, hit the search thing and look up Star-Lord helmet. You can look at the post that he did. There's part three, there's part two, and part one is not called Star-Lord helmet because Will goofed up.
Yeah, but in each part he links to the other parts.
Yeah, if you just look up helmet, you can see there it is. There's part one. Yeah. So he did this very traditional, like, started it out of clay, did a lot of sculpting, made a junk mold of it, cast a copy of that junk mold, and then used that copy, this copy here, to, excuse me, oh, that's, there you go, there's part two. Use that copy to make a hard, rigid piece to do all the fine detail on, and made a mold of that, cast it, and I've been working on it. Actually, I used the slow-mo, too. For the live stream, on Tuesday, I was working on this helmet, and I was demonstrating how cutoff wheels can break on a rotary tool, and I got some slow-mo footage of that. So anyway, that video is up on the YouTube channel that went up yesterday. If you want to go check that out, go for it. You can get caught up to speed on it. I'll be working on that for the next couple of weeks on our live stream, getting it all ready to go. I spent today or yesterday fiberglassing the inside of it, spent today cleaning it up, and it's all primed and ready to go, ready to paint. So we'll be doing that on the live stream Tuesday at noon Pacific.
Yeah, we'll have to make sure we have stuff for the next week for the eyes, because we might need some acrylic or something.
I think we'll do the eyes the week after that.
Well, we like the materials. Yeah. Like, that'll be the week after that, but yeah. We need, because we never leave the house, so
no.
I have to plan, like, 2 weeks in advance. If I have to order something, or if we have to go to the plastic store, because it's so far away.
So anyway, if you're looking to get, if you're looking to get those a Star-Lord helmet or many things, you can start looking at Etsy. Because I don't think Will's making them anymore. But if we look up Star-Lord helmet, you may find some. Look at that. There's a whole bunch of them. In fact, there's one from Solo Roboto Industries. That's our buddy Steven. And his is quite good. So if you're looking to get your own kit of a helmet like that, then go on over to Etsy and take a peek around. Then you can follow along. You can sand it, clean it up, and get it all painted for your next Star-Lord cosplay or just to put up on the old shelf. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Also, on Monday I put up a video that's kind of a showcases all the videos and playlists that we have. It dawned on me that we have a crap load of videos, and if you're just getting started or if you've just run into our channel for the first time, then it'd be kind of hard to navigate all that. So we organized a whole bunch of stuff into appropriate playlists, and that video kind of covers all of that. And people seem to really like that video.
Yeah, even if you've only been following us for under a year, there's so much content that Bill did before that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's easier to find on the YouTube side.
Yeah.
On the website, it's kind of already categorized, but yeah, I'm really glad you did that video. We put it on the new to prop making part of our website too.
Yep.
Or you did. Mm-hmm. Good job. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Got a bunch of new questions.
Cool. So here, this is that video. Just an FYI. If you haven't seen it yet, that one's really worth checking out. Especially if you've missed some of our early stuff. Because I did a 10-part Risty Queensblade Mace video like 4 years ago. A 10-part video series that goes over my whole build process. It's worth checking out. Not a lot of people have seen them. I know, because I went and looked at all of them to get this video ready. Not a lot of people watch them. But they're still good.
Which videos?
The Queensblade one.
Oh, yeah.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That was a lot of good...
Look at that.
A lot of different techniques in that.
Yeah, like getting reference images, sourcing your materials, making spikes.
I don't know if any of it's EVA foam either.
Nope.
There's insulation foam.
I also did some really, really sort of sketchy vacuum forming. Arma is curious if we are going to make it out to TwitchCon. We might. I submitted a panel... If we get accepted, that'll make our decision a lot easier. So we'll see.
Yeah, for those interested in TwitchCon, I believe the tickets just went on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to, it's probably twitchcon.com or something like that. And it's in the Long Beach Convention Center,
is it?
I think. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a different place than last year. I think it's the Long Beach one. I haven't been to that convention center before, so... I like that area, though. We usually go to Anaheim, so we like that airport stuff.
All right, yeah. Last thing. Speaking of travel, I am going to VidCon. Ta-da!
Speaking of Anaheim.
A lot of other YouTube people I know. About a year ago, we hit our 100,000 mark on YouTube, and that's when we kind of realized, hey, I guess we're YouTubers. Friends of ours who went to VidCon were like, if you're a YouTuber, you should go to VidCon. So I am. Hey, it's VidCon Australia. Jazz is going to be there. That'll be cool. Yeah, so I'm going to go down there. I'm going to be down in LA for like a week working on some videos with a bunch of my friends down there. People like Frank Ippolito. Potentially Evil Smith. Evil Ted Smith.
That's like the one way his name is not abbreviated.
Yeah. But I'll be down there. I'm going to go to VidCon. Maybe I'll see some of you guys down there. That should be a good time. That's in a couple weeks. So, VidCon! Do we have any other news, or should we just dive into the questions?
We can probably just go right into the questions.
Awesome. All right. Once again, you guys, if you're watching live and you haven't submitted a question, but you have a burning desire to know something about prop and costume making, a project you're working on, a project we're working on... Project we've done in the past, or how we do what we do, submit that question at punishedprops.com/live. Send it on over here.
Oh, real quick, too, if you are watching this as a recording and not live, you can submit your questions during the week.
Yes, you can.
And we'll gather them. If it is a very general question, try going over to our website, punishedprops.com. There's a little search bar. Try typing in some of the words there. There's a chance we've already answered that question before. One of the things we do is we take all of the submitted questions and then just put them below the video on our website so it's searchable. So, like, if you have something general, like a common question Bill gets is, can you mold a foam prop?
Mm-hmm.
We've answered that a couple times on the stream, so you can just search for that there, and it will probably pop up. So you can go and watch that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because those ones, if they're ones we get every week, I tend to delete them because we've answered them before.
Right.
So, yeah.
We also have an FAQ over on the site, so that's worth digging into as well. Anyway, all right, let's get started here. Starting with JJ, how do you dispose of your spray paint cans once you are done using them? I just throw them away. I don't know if there's a more appropriate way to do that.
Let me look it up. Are you looking it up?
I am.
It's probably different by state. I know recycling's different for every state.
This is fun. If you just go type in how to dispose of spray paint cans, it'll say in California, UK, New York City, and then Seattle. I guess I should look up Seattle because that's where I live.
Let's all learn together.
Quick guide to residential recycling in King County. Spray paint. Aluminum. Empty aerosol spray cans. Wait. Garbage.
It's garbage. In Washington State, it looks like.
Right. You just throw it away, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, at the center, they, split things up, like the garbage thing, so.
It does say to dry out your paint by mixing it with kitty litter or something called paint hardener to put in the garbage. I guess just taking a bucket of paint and throwing it in the trash isn't legit.
At least the paint cans we throw away are indeed empty, because that's what they request.
Yeah. Yeah.
We use every last bit.
What if I just look up a general? How to dispose? When recycling your Krylon steel aerosol spray can, this is on Krylon.com, make sure to follow these three easy steps. Use your Krylon product until the container is empty. Remove the plastic spray cap to be recycled separately. Recycle spray cans along with other containers according to your community guideline. So, whatever your state or specific community says, then that's what you gotta do. Seems like it's general. It's different based on where you live.
Yeah.
Yes. Ioneleth says that kitty litter is also good for oil spills. Very good to know. Thank you, JJ. Let's grab this next one here from Stephen R. I've been looking into getting Peppercura files for a pre-Vizsla S4-5 The Clone Wars helmet. I'm going to search for that so I know what it is. I've come across work in progress sets that build layers upon layers of fiberglass and resin and Bondo on top of the paper model. Why is this method used instead of EVA foam? It really depends on how much effort you want to put into finishing it, how much cost. If you start building a Peppercura helmet out of cardstock, and then fiberglass it, and then Bondo it, and sand it, and smooth it. It takes a lot longer, but it's a lot more rigid, and you can sand it to a high shine. You can paint it with things like enamels to get a super high gloss on it. If you wanted to do EVA foam, you could do something similar, just know it's going to stay flexible, and it's more challenging to get a higher fidelity on the surface detail on foam. Foam's a lot quicker. The other thing is that the Peppercura files for foam and Peppercura files for paper tend to be different. And sometimes you'll find someone who made Peppercura files specifically for working with foam, but not as many people put as much effort into doing that. Because you got to take into account the thickness of the foam. So there's a lot of customizing that comes into making a Peppercura file work well with foam. So not a lot of people do that. I'll tell you what, though, if you get pretty good at modifying your EVA foam Peppercura files, you could take that helmet for your pre-Vizsla costume and be the person that makes that file for everyone else to use and make out of foam. So it just depends on how much effort you want to put into it. I tried to make this. I was actually going through some old videos to prep for Monday's video, and I found my old Iron Man video.
Oh, the series?
Yeah, I had like a week and a half to build, and I was like, I'm going to make an Iron Man costume. And I found pep files for foam for Iron Man, and I was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, you were like, I could do this so fast.
Yeah, and if you want to watch my descent into madness, go ahead and watch those videos. I ended up only making a boot and a sleeve, and it worked out okay. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it was only foam. I never got it fitted. I never really could wear it. I gave it to my brother. He finished it, but then he even eventually threw it away and then made it out of fiberglass. So that's a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah, that was you were learning a lot, and you weren't quite sure how long your builds could take, especially since you had never done that specific build before. It wasn't like you're making another set of Mass Effect armor. It was a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Had to get it to fit right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's an example. Someone on the RPF had modified Peppercura files for foam, and I just used those. And they worked fine. It's just, I just didn't give myself nearly enough time. Thank you, Stephen R., for the question. Hopefully, somewhere in that last bit of rambling, an answer formed. Large Psy says, I'm working on EVA foam armor that has glossy and matte sections in the same color. How would you achieve this finish? I used the two most similar colors I could find, the glossy in a spray can, and the matte was just an acrylic that I applied with a foam brush. Is there a better solution than the one I used? If that solution worked, then it's a good one.
Yeah, it sounds like it worked.
Mm-hmm. What I would probably do is spray it all, or paint it all, the color you want. Then spray it all with like a gloss varnish to get everything shiny. And then mask off everything that you want to keep shiny and spray the rest of it with a matte varnish. And that'll change the specularity of those surfaces. You can have a lot of fun changing how shiny different parts of a costume are, especially if it's like the same color. Or if you're making a model, the eyes should be shiny or the lips should be shiny because they're wet. So you can brush on a little bit of like gloss varnish to make that part look wet.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I just picked up some aerosol shellac too. I want to try that out and see how flexible it is on foam. Mm-hmm. And I got some gloss varnish too. Yeah, definitely do a test if you want to try out that method, just to make sure that when you mask off a glossy area that it doesn't leave tape marks on it, because then it won't be glossy
anymore. Make sure
anymore.
That when you spray down that clear gloss that it is totally dry before you do any masking, because the masking tape could make it not look glossy. It could ruin it. Do tests, small scale tests.
Hey, Patch is in the chat.
Hey, hi, buddy.
I think that's a bingo card.
Yeah. Let's see here. Otherworld Cosplay wants to know, what did you do in the beginning of your YouTube and prop making career to network and market yourself? If you want to talk about YouTube specifically, I didn't do anything on purpose for a couple of years. All I did was focus on making videos, just make lots and lots of videos. But also, we watched YouTube videos every day, every evening. The last couple days during dinner, it's been YouTube and Sherlock. So we're familiar with a lot of other makers on YouTube, and we interact. So people get to know you that way. If someone clicks on if you leave a comment and they go to click on your YouTube name and and you have no videos, like, oh, just a viewer, cool. But if you have a bunch of videos, they'll be like, oh, who's this guy? You know? So make a lot of videos, make a lot of content for YouTube. What do we do to market ourselves, Britt?
I don't even know.
Networking? The funny story, going to Dragon Con counts as networking.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, networking means making friends.
Yeah, having, especially if it's in-person contact, that's so great. If you meet another maker in person, it has a much more lasting impression than just a comment on the internet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for comments, Bill is so good about that. Like, whenever he, like is watching a video and he says something out loud, he's like, I should tell that person that thing I just said. Right. And a nice positive thing. So he'll either tweet it to them or put it in the comments down below.
If I'm watching a video and like Grant Thompson did a video the other day, he was casting
a gear out of copper.
Yeah, he's casting copper and making these sand molds that were amazing. And the video was just really, really cool. So I made a point to spread the word, you know? Make sure I tagged him. So maybe he saw it. I don't know. But just like be that person who's engaged. Engaged with the community where you want to make an impact. And then the other thing I did, I gave away a lot of props.
That's true. I forgot you used to do that.
I did. That was my thing. I made molds of things so I could cast copies of stuff. I sold a lot of props, but like I already kind of knew like Brian Brushwood and Veronica Belmont. They did friends of ours who were doing a show. They asked me to make them some props, and I told them I will give you the props if you let me be on the show. And that was the deal that we did. That was actually a week or two before I quit my job. There were plenty of other things like stories like that didn't turn out that way. I gave away props to people who I never heard from again. That's just kind of how it goes. But just be giving, be active and be the person who, in whatever community where you want to make an impact, be the person who is always Johnny on the spot to help out. That's what we call marketing and marketing ourselves. Thank you, Otherworld Cosplay. Hey Patch says that he first found out about us through a podcast. Can't remember which one, but we were a guest.
Nice. Yeah, that's something Bill has done a lot in the past, as well as be guests on podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You still do one, too, every Tuesday morning.
Over on the morning stream.
Does your segment even have a name?
Yeah, Making Things with
Making,
Bill.
Making Things with Bill. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Let me see. Also in the chat there, Blackthorn had a question. You can submit those questions over at punishprops.com/live. Just send it off in there. It'll show up on our screen here, and we will answer it. All right, let's grab another one. This is from our buddy Nerdy Views. Is there a specific kind of steel wool you would use to prep plastic for paint? A fine steel wool? Like 00 or 000?
Yeah,
I was just doing that today.
Actually. Yeah, you were. The Scotch-Brite pads, too.
Yeah.
Frank really likes those when he's doing like little creature-y models before he primes them. He scuffs them up with Scotch-Brite, which seems like a really fine kind of steel wool, only it's plastic. I tried it out. I have a kitty mask I'll be finishing that I got as a kit at Construct, and it seemed good. I think steel wool is a little bit more aggressive.
It depends. So this, you can see, it's measured in zero. Zero is fine. 00, very fine. 000, extra fine.
What?
And 000, super fine.
And then where are the coarse ones measured?
Oh, then they one, go... two, three, okay. Four going up. Yeah.
Okay.
So you want extra fine, or if you can find it.
Super
get
fine.
Yourself some super fine steel wool.
I think they would just fall apart when you touch it.
Available. I'll put a link in the chat. A little Amazon affiliate link action for you guys. Available on Amazon.com for $6.73. That's enough steel wool right there to last you a fortnight. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Thanks, Nerdy Views. Good question. Let's grab this one here from Bill Helm Creations. I've been working with Monster Clay lately, but I'm having a hard time smoothing it out. Do you have any tips or tricks about working with Monster Clay? Britt did that recently.
I did a very, very small thing in Monster Clay. When Bill was working on the Serbotsala, I did the base for it, the little rocket jet engine. That was my only experience working with it. I just used some sculpting tools, and to make it look more organic, I lightly grazed it with a heat gun, and it melted it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's wax-based, right? Like, so it's when it cools down, it becomes very rigid, which is great for molding. I think that's one of the reasons people like to work with it. It never dries out because it's wax oil-based, I guess. I don't know. That's my one little experience working with it.
Yep. So you can't really sand clay, but you can smooth it out. If you're going to do that, use rubbing alcohol. as a lubricant.
Oh.
What's great about that is you can use like have a gloved finger and like smooth it with rubbing alcohol.
That sounds smart.
And then it evaporates, which is great. So there you go, Wilhelm Creations. Couple of tips for you there for working with monster clay.
Oh yeah, Hey Patch points out to get the right kind of Scotch-Brite pads. Yes, we did that as well, where we got ones we thought were right, and they ended up just being the kind you use.
It was a sponge.
Yeah, it was a sponge. So yeah, there are these thinner ones that are just the mesh and don't have any soap in them. They do exist. So yeah.
People are curious if why you're quiet on the microphone. That's because I'm much louder.
The mic is right in front of me too. Maybe maybe it's because the bar is here.
I'll just put it closer to Brittany.
All right. It's tricky because it's like an omnidirectional mic.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm sitting farther back.
I don't know. All right, let's grab another one. This one's from Poodwaddle. Do y'all remember the laser engraved prop tart or pop tart? I'm not sure what that's referencing. Did someone laser edge a pop tart?
I guess so. I don't remember.
I don't know.
So no. There's so many cool things that the prop tart community has made, and I forget ones. Like that logo was designed a year ago, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a while.
Modulus Props in the chat says, from our previous question there, that you can freeze monster clay and then wet sand it with isopropyl alcohol. Cool. I'll have to try that sometime. All right, moving on. And about halfway through the show, we only have a handful of questions left. So if you go ahead and submit your question via punishprops.com/live, which I don't see Joel's question in here. Joel.
Maybe it went to our spam folder.
Maybe it did. So go ahead and submit those questions and we will answer them. All right. Or we'll end early and we can go have dinner. Nostalgia wants to know, I'm about to try to put a leather handle on my EVA sword like your Skyrim steel axe build. Your Facebook link to Kathy's handle tutorial is dead. Oh no. What's another good resource? Leather noob here. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
Yeah, I wonder if she's revamped her website, so maybe all her links got moved around.
Yeah. God Save the Queen Fashions. That's Kathy from GSDQ. That's the website. Is there a blog? I wonder if maybe it's over there. Blog. Click on that. Oh, let's go on this journey together, everyone.
Oh, did you see what Modulus Prop said about monster clay?
Freezing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was reading stuff. Reading questions.
Let's see here. I'm just going to search. Let's use the search function. Handle. Let's see what happens.
Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
I guess it's gone.
All right. I did a video. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's quite a long time ago.
Yeah, you did a whole series on finishing the Steel Axe kit.
Yeah, I can't remember how. It could be in the video. I was like, just go watch Kathy's thing.
Yeah, probably.
So I don't know where that went. But
you know what? Harrison might have. Oh, no, because, yeah. Cause,
he would have linked it.
Yeah, Kathy was the one that actually did it. He handed it off to her.
Because it was a little bit complicated. It was perfect that she had made that thing. Let's do a quick search on our channel, see what I find. Skyrim Steel Axe.
Yeah, because you've done other handles since then, but not that complicated.
Yeah, I have a 3-part series here that's not totally loading. It's probably going to be part 3. Oh. Yeah, Kathy's handle tutorial. Page not found. Oh no, broken links. What did I do in the video? I was singing, apparently. Yeah, I'm willing to bet I was just like, go follow Kathy's thing. All right, so that's no help at all. But, I guess maybe we could just put... You know what? The best I can do is try and find that tutorial and link it on the notes in this show. But if I can't find that, then I promise we will post a picture of the completed handle, detailed pictures of the completed handle, in the post for this episode on punishprops.com. Does that sound good?
Sure.
That sound good, everyone?
Sure, it sounds great.
That might be the best that we can do if we can't find it. So, looking forward to seeing how the rest of your axe turns out, though. Nostalgia, and good luck with the build. Joshua wants to know, do you have any advice for handle wrapping a leather or suede cord?
Yeah, I put those next to each
yeah.
other.
I made an iron axe for my 3D printer. It came out great, but as a maker, I'm not happy with it. I tagged you on Twitter if you want to have a look. You can tag links in the questions you submit, too. Yeah. Hey, Max Money says, I found the Skyrim Axe Part 3. Can I post a link? Yeah, go for it. So, I haven't done a ton of leather wrapping, but the easiest thing you can do is to brush, like, contact cement, like barge, on the handle of whatever it is you made. Brush contact cement on the back of your leather, and then just wrap it in a spiral pattern. That's the easiest way to do it. There's all kinds of crazy leather handle wrapping things you can do. I imagine there's a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you've done the, was it the little dagger, the Skyrim dagger kit
mm-hmm.
that was wrapped. Your giant For Honor axe was wrapped, right?
I think that was just a spiral. Yeah. Just I just did it in a spiral, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, those are the simple spiral wraps.
Yep.
So I think the steel axe was the most complicated one you did.
It could be, yeah. Poodwaddle found the laser engraved prop tart. Let's.
Ooh, I want to see
take
that.
Take a look at that.
Thanks for finding that.
All right.
Oh, I do remember this. Okay, I was picturing like a picture of a prop tart engraved on something, not that it was a prop pop tart actually with an engraving on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was done at a school thing, right? Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I bet it smelled great too when it was melting the frosting.
That sounded really good. Who's yelling at me? All right, there you go, Joshua. Look up on YouTube. That's my answer. Check out what other handle wrapping videos are out there. Matthew over at Petita Props wants to know, have you seen the Aquaman from the new Justice League movie? I'm asking because his armor looks like it gives him an insane range of motion. Wondering if you have any advice for that level of flexibility. And there's a video. All right, let's... Oh, that's cool. Here, let's check this out.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know how I feel about this Flash outfit.
Yeah, I'm over it, though. Because it's like, I don't... It's already done, so it's like, oh.
I really like the Flash armor from the show.
I like the Aquaman.
So,
oh, he's amazing.
I'm willing to bet that for the movie, they made the armor probably 3D printed or sculpted. They made molds of it, and they probably cast a lot of it in like a urethane rubber.
Yeah, super flexible
yeah.
materials. That was looked like what they did for the Power Ranger suits for the new movie mm-hmm. as well. It used to be that was more the version they would do just for the stunt suit. So like Iron Man, there was a flexible version mm-hmm. of him. For the stunt guy, but now it's like they're just putting on the main characters like for their hero yep. suits,
because now they can make them look legitimately good and like a hero outfit.
Yeah, and the molds for those are crazy.
Yeah,
like they're someone were designed to have like two, it's like a two-part mold, and so it's like the thickness is the actual material thickness.
Yeah,
like so it's like, not just
like an eighth of an inch or something.
Yeah, they're not just brushing or slushing it in. It's oh. Nuts.
So that's probably how they did it. A lot of molding and casting. Not cheap, and it takes a long time, but that's a really, really great way to do it. If you could totally do something very similar with EVA foam. You just have to make sure the foam stays flexible. So if you seal it with something like Epsilon or something more rigid, then when you try and do your kung fu moves, it's going to crack. So that's why we like using things like latex rubber to seal the foam. You get a really nice finish on it, and it's super, super flexible rubber. And you can make your foam armor out of fairly thin pieces. We usually start with like floor mat foam, which is about half an inch thick, but you can make it out of, you know, 6mm foam or even thinner. I've made armor pieces out of like 2mm foam before. Especially if you seal it all with like latex rubber, it will be very durable. So,
it sounds like a fun challenge. I imagine the RPF group that's interested in making the Aquaman from the new movie, there's probably talks about how some people are already trying to build it. That's the thing about like popular movies is you can usually find someone else who's also interested and yeah. see what they're planning on doing. And then, yeah, some people like to be like, have the costume out before the movie's even out. So someone's probably trying to do it right now. Just have to find them and be their friend.
God, I wonder if Evil Ted's getting a kickback from Polytech. Every time we mention latex, he just yells Polylatex 60 in the chat.
We got to meet some of the Polytech people at Construct.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they have some cool stuff that we'll probably try in the future.
All right, let's keep rolling here. Thanks for the question there, Patina Props. Next one comes from our buddy Sam over at Bio Cosplay. He wants to know what our favorite dinosaurs are. I liked Littlefoot from The Land Before Time, which I believe there are 13 of them out now.
Oh, 13? Really?
What's your favorite dinosaur?
I think I only saw the first one. I like all dinosaurs equally. They're all great.
Land Before Time.
I never had a specific dinosaur. I had a bunch of toys, but I liked all of them. Actually, you know what? Dragons. I was just thinking I had this set of dinosaur toys, but I also had a dragon, and that was one I played with the most.
Oh, wait, they are numbered. Yep, 13. 14! Journey of the Brave!
The 14th one they didn't number. They stopped numbering
them. Yeah,
they
stopped numbering them after 13.
It's like they're going to start using letters like Photoshop.
Land Before Time 11, Invasion of the Tiny Sauruses. Or Land Before Time 10, The Great Long Neck Migration. Riveting stuff, you guys. I like the Brontosauruses. They're cool. Like Littlefoot.
Hey, the chat's agreeing with me. Dragons. Dragons are best.
Thank you, Sam. Let's grab another one from our other buddy.
Sam's favorite is the Stegosaurus.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one.
I think Sam asked that question just because he wanted to share what his favorite dinosaur is.
That's fine.
The Stegosaurus is a respectable dinosaur. Very good. Okay, Rocket Man wants to know, how do you protect a 3D file from theft once you sell it digitally, such as on Etsy? Easy. You don't. That's one of the reasons why I don't give out my 3D files or even sell them. Once a digital file is out there, it's out there. You could try and do some sort of complicated DRM, but that's what they do for music, and people still seem to find a way to copy music. So any effort to digitally protect your files once they're out there are generally not going to work. What I've found, and this has worked for me, is that if you are a super cool person and you're really helpful and really nice, then people will want to support you by buying you products if you make good products. So we have our books, our digital, our ebooks, right? They're just PDFs. When you get it, it's just a PDF. And if you want to just email it to your friend, you can do that. I would prefer you encourage that friend to buy it from me, but I can't stop you from doing that. My hope is that you enjoy the work that we do and you're thankful for it and you would like to support us for creating good things. So far, that has worked out pretty well for us. And that seems to be the best form of DRM. Just build up a lot of goodwill and people will want to help you. So be a good person in the community. But
yeah, I'm curious to see what services develop for 3D model files for 3D printing, because you think of other industries like the audiobook industry, so audible.com, they're kind of like DRMs, right? You need to have the
you
client.
You have to listen to it through their thing.
And it's a great service, but they set it up so you have to use them, but they made it very easy. So it's, you know, it's affordable and easy, and you can get a free song an audiobook, so you get hooked on it. So I wonder for 3D files, if something like that is also, maybe it already exists. I don't know. It's a tricky world, though, because it's the kind of thing you have to have the rights for, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, so for, like, I couldn't, like, read Game of Thrones books as audiobooks and put them up on Audible and have my versions be sold there, because I don't have the rights to do that. So, I don't know. That's a really interesting question.
This, I think this is the video. This is where, I was just going to drop this in the chat. This is Adam Curry, the Podfather. He was one of the first guys doing podcasting. He did a really good talk on the value propositions, value for value. Because it's the same thing with podcasts. You put a podcast out there and people don't pay. It's free. So how do you make money on it? You know, you create value for people and then they will want to support you. It actually works. I'm here to tell you that it works. All right. Thank you, Rocket Man Props. Also, Hey Patch wants to know what your favorite Dragon movie is.
I saw he didn't use the contact form, and I don't care because I really want to answer this. Well, favorite Dragon movie or movie featuring a dragon?
He says Reign of Fire. Reign of Fire is awesome. When Matthew McConaughey has his handmade axe and dives off of a thing to kill a dragon. He doesn't kill the dragon. Spoiler. He gets eaten by the dragon. But it's still awesome.
Okay, so Reign of Fire is a great movie. However, you could have replaced the dragons with any kind of creature. I prefer dragons that use the dragony uniqueness. And like that one was just a monster movie. So I was kind of disappointed with the dragons in that movie because they were mindless things like creatures. Dragonheart would be my favorite if it wasn't for the old cartoon movie Flight of Dragons.
Ah.
So Dragonheart's the dragon in that.
The last one.
Yeah, he's probably my favorite dragon, but Flight of Dragons, the old cartoon movie, I think is great.
Very good.
Yes, this is all very important information.
Okay. Habiteer Workshop has a prop making question.
Okay.
What color would you recommend painting Vash's Trigun gun? Trying to find that metallic bluish silver with no luck. Well, someday I will make that gun. That's going to happen. That's one of my favorite guns. And when I paint it, I don't know how I did that. When I paint it, I will probably paint it with all clad lacquer paints. You can do like chrome. I picture it being like a chromed, shiny finish on the gun. They have. Let's go take a look at their website, allclad2.com. I don't know why it's allclad2. I don't know if allclad1 was a thing. But if we go to finishes and we go to. Let's try high shine. Yes. Polished aluminum.
How to Train Your Dragon. How could I forget about that one? Also really good. Good job, Sam. That's also a good one.
Apparently I get a gold star for the Sean Connery impression. Thank you. So here's some shiny lacquers. The important thing is that you get a good glossy black coat down first, and then you spray these on top with your airbrush. There's chrome for plastic. There's polished aluminum. There's a couple of stainless steel, gold, titanium. All of these shiny finishes have subtle differences. So you might want to pick up a couple of the chrome shiny ones. Like the polished aluminum is actually brighter than the normal chrome. I've played with both of those. So you'd want to do some tests and compare them and see which one you think would work best. But if you want a really good shiny finish, in fact, I have a let's go to tested.com. I have a tutorial. A shiny gun. Close enough. How to make shiny metal prop finishes. This is where I went over that. And we will link to this in the old show notes area. This is how I painted the Ray Blaster. You see, I used the polished aluminum is what I used on top of the all-clad gloss black. And then I used their aqua gloss to seal it. It's a pretty good shiny finish there. So there's that. All right. That's how I would paint the Trigun gun. There you go. Dropping a link in the old chat.
Cool. The chat has a lot of good, helpful information, too.
Good.
So, good job, guys. You're also smart.
Thank you, Habiteer Workshop. Next one here comes from Dirk Soul. I use EVA and lightweight spackle to build a lot of my props. What is the oddest not-meant-for material that you routinely use for cosplay building?
Yeah, whenever I go to Amazon, the recommended products are like, I don't know. You've bought some weird stuff.
Yeah. Trying to think what the is the weirdest stuff one. We use like aluminum foil anytime. I think whenever I'm like, oh, I know what I need, it's in the kitchen. Like, yeah. Foil or wax paper or the kitchen scale that is now a shop scale. covered in crap.
Yeah, we have one of those little mortar and pestle things that's made out of like marble, and it's like this really good dome shape. The interior is good for heat forming small EVA foam things. So that'll end up in the shop, and then your foam smells like herbs, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's something. I just can't think of it. Because to me, it's normal, right? Like, you just look at a thing and you're like, oh, this is a shop tool now. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I think over time, too, I've ended up just buying, like, all of whatever the appropriate tools and materials are.
That's true, because we want to try them out instead of just trying to make a helpful tool from scratch. It's like, well, we haven't tried the official one, so let's try it, because then we'll know if it's worth getting. So.
I have a toaster oven that I use for small vacuum forming.
That's probably it. The toaster oven for our small vacuum
forming. That I don't use for anything else. I don't put food in it anymore.
No. Yeah. No.
Sir Doomington wants to know what I'm drinking. This is Coke Zero. Not a paid sponsorship, but if anyone in the chat works for Coke and you'd love to pay us to drink more of this, then let me know.
Hey Patch says I should have the Dragon Cast. I agree. Although, I mean, like, the thing about fantasy movies is a lot of them aren't that great. So, there's a lot of really bad dragon movies out there. Like, they're still making Dragonheart movies.
Yeah.
I think, actually, Patrick Stewart's voice is the newest dragon.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they're made for TV, but, like, the CG is getting good enough. I was like, I might actually watch that one.
All right, let's keep moving on. Thanks for the question, Dirk Soul. Next one comes to us from our buddy, Hey Patch. He says, hey guys, what is something you want to learn how to do? Well, I have many things I want to learn how to do. I have a metal lathe now, and I'd like to learn how to use it. I feel like after watching all of Click Springs' videos that I have a pretty good start, pretty good idea how to use that thing. But I also want to get a mill, learn how to use that. So that's up there. I want to learn how to weld.
Yes. Yeah. I think that'll be a very useful thing for you to have. Because, like, a lot of the YouTube maker videos we watch, welding is, like, their hot glue.
Right.
They use for everything.
I just weld it together.
Yeah. Yeah. So for them, it's, like, just it's part of their tool set.
Yeah. And
for us, it's like, well, I haven't tried it before. I
made a table out of steel in 10 minutes. Because I have a welder.
That'll definitely be in a new shop.
Yeah.
Like, Our basement is not good for welding.
No. Oh, no. That would be terrible. Yeah.
I want to learn how to sculpt. Actually watch some sculpting videos and try out some different clays and then make something this year. Like, because that seems like such a good, accessible way to make a prop, to sculpt something and then mold the master. And we haven't done that. We haven't done a video on that. So it's something I want to learn. Everyone else has tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Like modulus props and fearless facade and all the cool kids.
All the cool kids.
Yeah.
So there you go. Look forward to that. Fortunately, I have the metal lathe, so I can start learning now. In fact, we mailed it out. I made a very tiny Jimmy DiResta ice pick. It was that big, and I mailed it to him. I made that, and I did it all on my tiny lathe. All right, thank you, Hey Patch. We've got one more question here from Robin. What is a good barge contact cement alternative? Is DAP a good brand? DAP will work just fine. I will say that if you're using it to, like, put two, like, seams together, and it's going to bend a lot, what I like to do is brush on a good layer of the barge contact cement, and let it dry for about 5 minutes, and then brush on a second layer and let that dry for 5 minutes, and then put it together. That's with the DAP. It's a little bit thinner, and two good layers will really help out a lot.
No, you're right. That it's totally helpful with two layers. And some foam just takes more, like it soaks in more. Like different brands of foam, all different kinds of EVA foam densities and stuff. So sometimes you need two coats anyway. But yeah, that is good advice.
There you go, Robin. Yeah, that will work. Next one. Oh, hey, Patch, snuck another question in here.
Yeah, I'm adding more.
Awesome. How did you guys go about getting a real-life book of the Foamsmith books made? Well, I had the e-books, and the thing with an e-book is it's completely self-published. So the instant I was done typing it, and I exported a PDF. I put it on my website and I told people to buy it. There was, that was it. The process of getting a printed book made is so much more different because it's got to be formatted correctly for print. And then you have to pay someone to print it. And fortunately, Brittany had just quit her job. And I was like, hey, Britt, we have these ebooks. Can you turn them into real books? So what did you do?
Unfortunately, self-publishing is becoming more popular. So
even printed. Printed self-publishing, yes, yeah.
Is becoming more popular. So there are people who will write a book and then release an ebook and the print book at the same time, and it's all self-publishing. So there are websites that support what they call print on demand. So I went through CreateSpace, and CreateSpace, you can go figure out your book format there. The valuable part about that that website is there are forums, and I would just go to the forums and I would just type in a question and search for it. And someone asked the same question as me. Like every two steps of the way, I was like, what size book should I make? How long can a book be? How much does it cost to print? What software should I use? Like everyone's already asked those questions. So I would just I read through a bunch of forums. I ended up using Adobe InDesign. And I went with a standard like letter size book things that made sense for the format Bill already had. But yeah, it's and then you can do, the great thing about print on demand is you can just order like one book and say it's a test book. So like it was like, I don't know, like $40 or something to get a test book through CreateSpace because they're the most affordable one. They're owned by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's how we got started. We since moved to a bigger print company where we can do what's it called, offset printing, which is a consistent quality, a higher quality of printing. So all the books look super nice and I don't have to check every single one. But yeah, CreateSpace was how I got started. And there's a lot of really smart people on those forums.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there you go. Do print on demand to get started.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And people will even do that if they're going to go get it printed through a big distributor, because CreateSpace is like test print is so cheap. And it's cool to get a book. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, oh, look, I have a book.
Yeah, even if you just want one.
Yeah, it's super neat.
Yeah. And then now we buy them offset. We have to buy 1,000 at a time.
Yay.
But we get a much better deal. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks, Hey Patch. Let's grab this one from Steve, who just spoke with Yaya Han at MegaCon. Fantastic. She says that she recommended, or Steve says that she said, he hit us up. There we go. For using foam to make a helmet, what would you recommend? You're in luck, Steve. You are in so much luck because I just made a helmet making video. Holy crap. This is basically Evil Ted's helmet making template making thing. There's Bob's head that I put it on. With some twists, I added my own bit of detail to the template making process. Specifically taking the helmet template and putting it in the computer machine and scaling it up 10% so that it fits nice on your head. So yeah, there's the pattern pieces, and then I put them into Inkscape and I traced them and then I scaled them up. So anyway, that video will be linked in the show notes if you want to go check that out. Also linked in that video is Evil Ted's, so you can go watch his too. They're both good. They're both good.
Yeah.
So go check those out. And go make it a foam helmet.
If you happen to want to make a Voltron Paladin helmet from the new Voltron show, Ted also just released a video on how to make that.
With templates, too.
Yeah.
And I happen to be making one as well. All right, let's keep moving here. This next one comes to us from JedZ1. How long were you guys making before you started a YouTube channel / online business? I've been making stuff my whole life, but really got into prop and costume making in like 2009. And I quit my job in 2012. So about 3 years. And then I started doing YouTube videos in 2012, but I really got into it in earnest probably like 2013. So that's kind of how that worked. I guess I answered all the questions.
Yeah. Well, there's one more in there.
Oh, one more. Adam wants to know, what new thing with 3D printing would you like to try but haven't yet? 3D printing. Well, we have a couple things. I have a printer that can do flexible material, and I have flexible material to run through it. So we're going to be testing a lot of that stuff here very soon.
I just want to try modeling more stuff in Fusion 360.
Yeah.
And then print that. So just like more like I'm so used to polygon modeling where it doesn't have to exist in the real world and things can phase into each other and not be functional. And so like it's a very different way to look at making things, and I think that's it's helpful because like it translates over to anything we make, just thinking about dimensions and how things fit. And
so, yeah. Oh, Props is here. Hi Chad.
Chad's been streaming a whole lot.
Yeah, he has.
He's working on his Krogan.
I would love to try and 3D print a mold or a mold jacket for like a Matrix mold. That's something I would love to try at some point. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, for Matrix molding, that seems like it'd be pretty sweet, especially if your master was a 3D model, so you have the correct dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so good. Thank you for the question, Adam. We're going to call it there, but before we go, in case you missed it, I'm going to play my bee video. I was out today for a walk, and I saw this bee flying, and I took a video of it at 180 frames a second, and it was super epic because he peed. Ready for it?
this is seriously the happiest I've seen Bill in a while.
Oh my gosh. I was reviewing the footage just because I thought I got really good footage of a bee flying, and sure enough, he took a leak. Bee!
Sir Dewington said the tiniest bladder.
The tiniest. Boop. That's it.
Maybe I need to make that into an animated GIF.
Yep. That's fantastic. That's how my day went. And that's all the questions. Thank you guys so much for bringing your questions. You guys are awesome. And without
those
questions, we would have very little to talk about. We just have to watch that video over and over again.
That wouldn't be so bad, but I do appreciate your questions.
Yeah.
It helps us, you know, think of what we want to try in the future, and then everyone can learn from the answers, and it's super handy.
Yeah. Once again, I will be at VidCon in a couple of weeks. If you're going to be there, come find me. I'll be just wandering around. I'm not doing a panel or anything, but you can come say hi. If you see me, say hi over at VidCon in Anaheim, California, at the same place where they do BlizzCon. That's it for today. We might be on Viking Last stream on Saturday.
Yeah, maybe if we end up streaming.
Oh, Viking underscore Last. We might be streaming with her coloring in a coloring book. So that's because we're grown-ups and that's what we do.
Doing fun art projects.
That's, yes, art project. Cool. All right, that's it for Prop Live Q&A. Thank you again so much for hanging out with us today, you guys. You're awesome. And we're going to go have dinner. Bye, everybody.
Yes. Bye. That's stupid bee.